Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Niamh Riggs, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you keeping, Ger?
This is one of those weekends where I've been wrong about some stuff in the Six Nations, most notably that we were going to annihilate the Welsh, and that didn't happen. I'm not going to be wrong about Ireland annihilating Italy this weekend, surely, am I? Give me some comfort.
I'm not sure. I think I think Ireland will win, but I've really liked some of the stuff that I've seen from Italy over the first two games, and I think it'll be close enough up until 50 or 60 minutes. To be fair, I think Italy have shown a lot of attacking flair, and you know they've just been let down by inconsistencies and real bad individual errors that just get compounded by another. So I think Ireland should be in a good space mentally after a good week off or whatever, and they seem to be good when they come out in their press conferences during the week. So for sure, look, the sun's out today, the weather's good, so I think it'll be something they'll enjoy.
The only luck that Andy Farrell has had so far has been bad luck as Ireland head coach. So there's a load of different scenarios where if Ireland were to have a man sent off early in the game, for example, we might struggle. Or if a couple of key players were to, you know, bang into each other and both have to go off with potential HIAs. That might be another one of those things that has happened to Ireland a couple of times recently where we'd be a bit concerned about it. Let's take the look out of it. What patterns of play are you looking for that Ireland will feel comfortable and confident and that we'll say there's been some progression?
Yeah, look, I think what they've done well so far, they have to continue to keep doing well. So their set piece, their breakdown, the ball retention, but the things that we need to see progression on is more ball in hand, I think, and an ability to try and move the Italian defence around. I think that's something that we've lacked severely, and it's not really for me been too much about player selection, and I think it's just been a lack of attacking philosophy, shape. I'm not really sure, I can't really put my finger on it, but the more I watch them, the more confused I get, I suppose. And so I think if we can see direction and an intent, I think that'll definitely be something that we can take great confidence from.
The word confidence is one that Ronan O'Gara constantly keeps going back to. And, you know, obviously he's been in teams that have been in a run of form like this. He's been in teams that have fallen off cliffs in the middle of tournaments or pre-tournaments. He's been on teams that have gone on a roll and won Grand Slam. So he's kind of seen that whole thing. And when he, like at the coalface at the moment of coaching a team who are full of confidence and top of the top 14, you begin to think, okay, well, if he thinks that confidence is something that's important, it obviously clearly is. Is there enough, are there a few instances in the last couple of games where a few moments would have changed how the team feels about itself, for example, and that would have been the shot in the arm they need?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was kind of interesting to hear the coaching tick come out this week and put the onus back on the players in terms of, their lack of execution. They feel like they've created a lot of chances that they just haven't finished. And it's funny, I was a bit perturbed when I heard it, but when I went back and watched some of the games, we have created a lot of chances, but it's just not been in what we call the scoring zone. So the chances or those big overlaps have been maybe between our 10-metre line and their 22. And so for sure, there's definitely been instances where if we had been more predictive in terms of, instead of reactionary. So if we had predicted that the ball would go to space and been there, then we might have had different outcomes, as opposed to, oh, the ball is at the space, say, in Gary Ringrose's hands for all the world, and therefore, oh, now we're chasing our tails to try and get to him, if that makes any sense, get to his half break or his half shimmy. Whereas, you know, if you look at some of the best teams in the world, the likes of the New Zealand's, Australia's club teams and stuff, they seem to be very confident that the ball will get there. So they just cut cheat lines across the park to be in that space and be ready for an offload. I think that's a big thing for the Irish attack. They're happy enough, or they don't trust that there's going to be an offload or a pass. That it's just, we're definitely going to run to a breakdown and that's all that's going to happen there. So it's more of a reactionary, as opposed to, well, if we get the ball to the edge and the likes of Larmour now and get his, you know, the hand, his hands on the ball and he can step into space, well, if I can be here at this time, well, then therefore it gives him an option and we can keep the ball alive. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's long-winded, sorry.
Well, no, it totally does, because it's the, we were talking during the week about running trail lines, and you don't run trail lines if you don't think the ball's going to come. And then when somebody does make a break and they get isolated, sometimes they end up giving away a penalty because they hold on to the ball, when actually what should have happened was there should have been somebody making the run, but they didn't make the run because you weren't confident. And it's this kind of catch-22 scenario that you find yourself in.
Or are they not making the run because they know they have to chase the box kick in a phase or two later?
Well,
that's a big thing for me in terms of, is it gone so prescriptive that they can't, they don't go outside the box? And I'm not saying it's a coaching thing. Maybe it's just the fact that they've, this group of players, majority of them, have been playing a similar way for so long that it's a lot. It takes a lot of time to change that mindset or change that reactionary position, so that, you know, they do trust themselves that they can do it. And then, you know, sometimes when things aren't going your way in terms of, you know, as you spoke about the bad luck at the start, that can kind of feed into a squad and you start to kind of not second guess yourself consciously, but maybe subconsciously, and you don't make that, you know, you don't trust yourself enough to make that extra half break or throw that little pass or whatever. So I think that could be a factor too. I don't know. I'm just surmising, to be honest. And because it frustrates me, because for a long time I've been saying that Ireland have some really, really good players and we just don't utilise them the way we should.
And it doesn't seem like that's the case with the players at club level. I think that's the, maybe that's one of the leaps that's happened in the last couple of years, where the Joe Schmidt teams, I think sometimes we forget this, were heavily criticised for not being particularly creative, and then they went off and won a Grand Slam. It was like, oh, well, you know, that's all that matters. And they were very creative in that last game in at Twickenham. But like we there was definitely a long period of time where people would complain about Ireland being predictable, kicking the ball too much and boring to watch, except we were winning those games. This time, we're being accused of the same things and the wins aren't happening. So it's far more, the tension gets ratcheted up.
Yeah, but I think with Joe Schmidt teams is that you could always count on a couple of things. So obviously the level of detail in terms of, he always knew a weakness in the opposition. So after a starter plays, or a, you know, they might have a set piece or a set play off the sixth or seventh phase, you know, we're going to pinpoint their number five, because he's, you know, he tackles really high. So if we can get him in a position where he's going to be uncomfortable, well, that's where our break will be. Like, that's how detailed that was. And it wasn't just our first phase, it just continued on. So while it looked like it was kind of boring, there was a method to that in terms of, like, they had a kind of a game plan or an understanding that if they could pinpoint or find a weakness somewhere along that defensive line, then it would pay off, if that makes any sense. Whereas now I feel like we don't have that level of detail, maybe, or, you know, we haven't tried anything off a starter play. We haven't tried anything as a second receiver or a second playmaker. And, you know, that's probably, and it's difficult, you know, because the defenses now are so tight, you know, they rush everybody. But like, I watched that Super Rugby match this morning between the Crusaders and the Islanders, and that Crusaders defensive line was ridiculously quick. Like, they gave away a couple of penalties because they were borderline, but it was so, so quick. And yet the Highlanders players never had an issue with finding, getting the ball to the edge, never had an issue with looking at that little dink. Or, and for me, it's that tight five, their ability to be able to play at the coal face on that gain line and have soft hands and around the contact zone makes it so much difficult for, so much more difficult for defences to be able to shut you down properly, but also makes it so much easier for the attack because it's changing direction all the time.
Yeah, and to that extent, all of a sudden, James Ryan being in the team transforms it. Tyke Furlong being in the team transforms it.
Well, Tyke Furlong for me, hugely, yeah. Hugely. I still think we're still missing one more. Like, when you look at a, like, I don't know if you saw in the game this morning, but Cody Taylor was playing hooker for Crusaders, scored this unbelievable try, but all made from Sam Whitelock's really good hands and a little deft touch and a big burst of pace. And we are kind of missing that little bit of a link, I think. And it's very easy to say that it all comes down to the backs or it all comes down to the forwards. It's not of that for me. It's not a two-tone thing. It's very much a connective thing. I think it's a whole squad issue.
One of the best things about being a sports fan, and I keep saying this, is the next player along is always the player who's going to be the messiah, who leads us to the promised land. And lo and behold, Ryan Baird is on the bench. I've been looking at some of the Ryan Baird clips going, I don't want to say this, but he reminds me a little bit of Rocky Elsom. Like, that's the level of excitement I feel about it. Now, Rocky Elsom was a very special place in Leinster fans' hearts because, you know, they'd never won anything, and then Rocky Elsom arrived and all of a sudden they literally did reach the promised land, and he will forever be the messiah. If Ryan Baird has a career as good as Rocky Elsom's, we'll all be very happy. But there's just a movement there. And I mean, if his skill set is what I'm suggesting it might be, then get him in the team. Let's see what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's still very young. He's still learning his trade.
And, no pressure.
You know, I watched him in a Leinster-Ulster A game at the start of January. And he didn't stand out. He did okay, but he wasn't at that consistent level where you need to be, you know, on that team sheet for Leinster week in, week out. Now, maybe it was a bad day for him. Maybe he just, you know, hadn't played in a while. He was coming back from injury, as far as I know. So it was probably just ring rusty. But over that time of, you know, his time at Leinster Seniors at the moment and his under 20s, yeah, he's so athletic. His ability to cover ground, like his stride length is phenomenal, but also his ability to do the basics. And so, yeah, 100%, he could definitely, and you'd love to see the likes of him and Craig Casey get a good run tomorrow. You're talking 20, 30 minutes, like not just a 4 or 5 minute, you know, run off the bench. You'd want to give, this is a perfect opportunity for them. You'd expect Ireland to be winning, to have opened up Italy by the 60th minute, 50th, 60th minute, give them their run then and allow them to come into a no-pressure zone and enjoy it, if that makes any sense.
Craig Casey as well is one of those who does run those trail lines and does take that gamble. And you really hope that he doesn't have that kind of second guess. Oh, geez, I can't do that because I've got to be ready for whatever chase is coming next. Or the defensive line, if we lose this ball, I need to be in the position for that. As opposed to actually just making the run, because that seems to be his innate game.
Yeah, look, I think he's, you know, I've been really lucky to see him live a couple of times this year doing commentary for Munster games. And yeah, he's incredibly yappy. He likes to boss people around, but he's backed it up with some unbelievable things in terms of his ability to spot space. Kind of reminds me a small bit of that Gibson Park-esque, where his ability to hold a defender in around the pillar A. So he holds in a defender to create a little pocket of space elsewhere. His passing is excellent, and he's not afraid to mix it, even though he's not the biggest. So yeah, look, I'd love to see him. I thought, I really liked that Andy Farrell kind of gave him a boost in the media this week in terms of, you know, he must have been disappointed not to get off the bench in the last game and then to come back into Munster and play so well against Edinburgh last weekend. And you'd like to think that there'll definitely be a good chunk of time there for him, because if there isn't, well, you know, as a player, you've got to feel like the coaches don't trust you, and that's not a good environment to be in.
No, exactly. And I think that comes down to some of the selection issues. We might just talk about those now. We're talking with Niamh Briggs here. Rugby and Off the Ball is with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team, Team of Us, everyone in. James Lowe has felt a bit of pressure, has come in for some criticism. But, you know, Andy Farrell has that reputation as being a player's coach. And backing him under those circumstances is something that he will expect a return from, but that also, in the long run, James Lowe is going to be pretty happy about.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've probably been one of those that's been a little bit critical of him in terms of his defensive set. I think you know, I still have to be convinced that he can explode onto this international test kind of a window. I think he has all the attributes for sure, but I felt at times in Leinster's big games that he hasn't been to the forefront, and he's big and he's powerful, and he seems to have a very infectious, you know, kind of personality where he wants to be on the ball all the time. So if that's the case, then play to his strengths and allow him that. And but yeah, look, I'm not sure how many chances, you know. I think if he can, this weekend should do him the world of good, because defensively, you know, you'd hope that he won't be under that much pressure in terms of Italy and their attack. So if that's the case, and he can get his hands on more ball and we can use his footwork and use his power as opposed to his left boot, because while it's very big, I think aimless kicking has gone out the window in international rugby, and and Ireland have been a bit aimless the last couple of weeks, and some of James Lowe's kicking has been aimless the last couple of weeks. So I don't think we use it to his strengths, but I also think that he needs to work off the ball too to be able to do it. And at this level, you've got to hunt, you've got to be able to pop up in places, and you've got to have the license to be able to pop up in places, and hopefully he can do that this weekend.
Is there also a case that having Jordan Larmour in the team is just going to make us a better attacking unit, because he is one of those players who can create something out of nothing, and all of a sudden you've got go forward momentum and the team looks much better because they've strung some passes together, the defence is scrabbling? Like, not having him in the team, I can completely see the case for it. He wasn't playing particularly well, he's coming back from injury, he had a few high profile mistakes. Keith Earls is Keith Earls, why the hell would you drop him? But this is his chance to get back in the team and probably keep his place.
Yeah, true. I'm not sure Keith Earls would be too happy for you to say that, in terms of if Ireland played to a game plan where Jordan Larmour is not chasing kick box kicks all the time like Keith Earls and James Lowe, to be fair, have been doing, well, then it'll definitely be a positive in the performance. So, look, he's incredible. His footwork is so, so good. Like, he can step in and he can, you know, his ability to go in and out in terms of his body shape is so, so good. And it's probably the best that we've had for a long time. But as you say, we've just got to nail those basics. So high catches, tackling, our defensive line, our ability to link, or Jordan's ability to link with Hugh O'Keenan, a fullback, and with Gary Ringrose, a 13, is going to be, you know, really important. But yeah, look, it's a different thing for me. I would have started him against Wales in the first game, and I probably would have had Keith Earls on the left wing, a little bit more natural for him. But I feel that they're our two best attacking wingers in terms of ball in hand and in their ability to chase. And so I'm excited to see him. I think he's, you know, probably, I thought he worked really well coming off the wing against France last week. I thought he offered himself up on a couple of occasions around the corner, and just unfortunately, ball didn't go to hand for him. So yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
Ian Henderson is 29, has 60 caps, but it feels like every time he's had a run in the team, he'll reach a level of form where you're like, wow, this is him kind of finally cresting into his peak, and then he'll get injured and be out for a period of time. It's him and James Ryan and Tadhg Byrne in the team. Interesting that they've gone for this against the Italians. Some of us kind of thought that maybe that would have been a thing to try earlier in the tournament, but certainly you can see how against England that might be a team selection that you're trotting out there and going, right, let's match fire with fire today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ian Henderson's incredible and unbelievable athlete. I think, you know, when he went on that Lions tour in 2017, I think that was the first time that really made me sit up and take notice of him in terms of his athletic ability around the pitch. And of course, he's had injuries, and look, that's the nature of the game. You know, it's a very attritional. He's a very attritional player. So it's always going to, you know, you're always going to run into problems at some stage. I can't help but feel really sorry for Reece Ruddock. I thought he was really good against France last week. I thought he's been exceptional for Leinster every time I've seen him this season. And it's very harsh, and it's probably the ruthless nature of test level. But this option gives us, you know, three line out jumpers. It gives us a better, you know, probably platform off the line out in terms of our ability to take go forward. And three very good workhorses that can get over the ball and can hit a lot of rucks, can do a lot of dirty work, and then that will free up the likes of Stander, Will Connors and Ty Furlong to a certain extent.
Give us your prediction.
Yeah, look, I think Italy will definitely, or Italy, or Ireland, sorry, will win by what I'm not sure. I think I heard it was a Stephen Ferris, someone on during the week saying the spread was 20, 22 points. Ireland, can they score 4 or 5 tries? I hope so, but I'm just not 100% confident in that.
Right, because we kind of need to for the pressure to ease a little bit. It's one of those, or essentially, you pick your strongest team, you have to win really well. And, like, I mean, this is a massive game for Italy too, where they've shown some signs. They've got a bunch of young players who are decent all of a sudden, and you wouldn't be terribly surprised if they did put in a good performance for an hour. And then everyone's like, oh, Ireland are rubbish because, you know, we only beat them in the last 20 minutes. It is really a no-win scenario here for the coach. Everybody not getting injured and winning the game would be as best they can hope for, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody not getting injured and then, you know, a better idea of, I feel like we are harping on about this every week, you know, in terms of their attacking structure. But, you know, you just want to see something extra. You just want to see them try and push the pass. And I'm not talking about 50 million offloads. You just want to see them react to things better and to be able to and have the confidence to be able to move it. And look, this Italy team, you know, were only 7 or 8 points behind Italy behind England when they had that try Johnny May scored, which really should have been a penalty for Owen Farrell's late hit. And then they're still 8 points behind in after 55, 60 minutes. So yeah. I do think that they'll hold 55, 60 minutes. And then I think, but then you hope then that, you know, he'll unload the bench, the likes of Baird and Craig Casey and Keith Earls and Billy Burns, and they have freedom to go because they know that there's space going to be there, if that makes sense. And that would be a good thing for Ireland, I think, at the end of it.
Niamh, good stuff. Enjoy the game. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me.
Niamh Briggs there giving us some thoughts on Ireland against Italy tomorrow afternoon. We'll obviously have live coverage for you across the afternoon on Off the Ball on Saturday with John Duggan.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.